You're listening to Around Comics, episode 106. This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
Hello.
This is going to be one of those episodes where Sal has plenty of opportunity to do his bad British accent.
No, I'm...
Hello,
I'm,
Governor.
I can't even...
Paul Jenkins is
it's not
throwing
even
up in his
accent.
Mouth right
it's
now.
Not even like an attempt at an impersonation. It's just...
When did you stop being a chimney sweep?
Because we're all...
We're gonna be talking with Jamie McKelvey in just a couple moments. He is, of course, one of the co-creators and the artist of Phonogram, which is one of our favorite books in 2006.
Yes. So
that'll be in just a couple moments. But first, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcase editions, archives editions, absolutes, omnibus editions, and more. Everything's an edition, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up on showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
It was like, I wish people could have had a copy of that with them so they could see how close it was to falling apart.
Oh, not close, yeah. It was,
and I actually...
I think I'm going to have to start writing my own copy because otherwise I can't... when I write stuff, I can think of like how someone could read it, but when other people write it, I can't... It's
I write
hard
nothing
for me to
down.
Write.
I actually checked with Cameron, and they are going to be carrying the Phonogram trade, and they've got tons of other collections from former guests on the show, so check out InStockTrades.com. We appreciate it.
Did you take a lewd today or something?
Am I very...
You're very mellow. You're very...
I think we're all really sedated.
No, I've been
maybe.
Baking in the sun today. I was at Wrigley watching the Cubs just get throttled by
Did
the
they
Braves.
Lose?
Yeah, like 8-4. It was the Cubs playing Cubs baseball. You know, dropped pop flies, bobbled balls at shortstop. And
I have nothing to say because my White Sox suck. So
yeah, my Cardinals are
suck.
I went to a Brewers game and it was really nice.
Oh, that's right, you did go to the Brewers.
It was fun.
Yeah, well, they're in first place.
So
they're kicking ass.
I'm a little sunbaked. I had a couple beers today.
Okay, I was just wondering. You seemed a little, loose, little.
Yeah, loosey-goosey.
Got a Hawaiian shirt on and like.
And a lay.
I had a vacation day. I'm a little, 2 days.
Chill out, dudes.
But alas, I had to come to Dark Tower Comics. And why? Because Around Comics was recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. I actually had a listener while I was setting up in here, Matt, said howdy, said he likes the show, so thank
I've
you, Matt.
I've never
Did
seen
he leave?
Any of these people that come in. It's, I've never...
You I always tell Chris them to leave because you're coming. They're like, I want to meet Tom. It's like, you know, Tom, it'll be a big letdown.
Jesus came in yesterday. Said he loved the show.
Tom, you don't want to be... Tom weighs 700 pounds. It takes him 20 to 25
it's
minutes
sad.
To get in the store.
You really don't want to see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want to remind you that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at aroundcomics.com.
And our latest contest is our Be a Hero contest. The contest rules are very simple. Just make a donation at heroinitiative.org, then send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com, letting us know that you did it. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into a drawing that will take place at the end of June. The contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com. They've included two $50 gift certificates, good for anything at InStockTrades.com. In addition to a $50 gift certificate, the first place winner will receive a prize pack, including a hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small. It's autographed and also has a two-page illustration done by Jeffrey inside.
It'd be kind of weird if it was done by somebody else.
Yeah.
done by Tom Cater in the style, with apologies to Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Brown. We're also including a Scotty Young sketchbook with a Scotty Young sketch in it. I think Chris Burnham said that he was going to do something. So if you pick
up... We'll twist Norton's arm maybe to throw something in.
Actually, I think Mike's going to be in. What I want to convince him to do is one of the Death of Captain America
covers.
Do a cap sketch.
There you go.
Do a sketch of like in that Bone Thugs and Harmony video where like they take the escalator up to heaven. Have like Captain America in an escalator, and then he gets to the top and he hugs Eazy-E.
That would be cool. So donate at heroinitiative.org, email us at hero@aroundcomics.com, and remember to check back each week as we increase that prize pack.
It's weird in here today because there's only the three of us. It's been a long time since we've had just the three of us. You know, no John. John, unfortunately, is gone, and I know there are a lot of people on the forum.
He's gone on to a happier place.
Yes, he has. You make it sound like
he died. You told me he went to a farm upstate where he'll be happier.
And no Scotty. Nobody's here. It's kind of a convention
in the sky.
I might just leave halfway through.
Bye, Tom.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to ditch you guys.
Yeah, you're not going to be here Monday. You'll be here today.
You've already listened to the episode without me.
Yes, yes.
But you won't be here for the Mindbender. The Monday episode.
Yeah. Speaking of Rip Hunter and John and all that, did you listen to the Jeff Johns interview?
I have not yet, no.
Really good stuff. It's Jeff Johns just gets it. He's such a cool guy.
I don't know. I never met him. Yep. Could be a dick, for all I know.
I'm sure he's not.
Check it out.
I'm sure you'll love him.
Nerd. All right. Well, shall we move on to our main topic for the evening?
Yes, please. Right.
Please.
Born in Malvern, Worcester, artist Jamie McKelvey began his collaboration with friend and journalist Kieran Gillen on a comic strip for the official PlayStation magazine UK entitled Save Point. Their working relationship continued with the release of the 6-issue series Phonogram from Image Comics, starring David Cole, a mage who uses the medium of Britpop music to interpret his magic. Phonogram quickly became a favorite title of Around Comics. Way back in episode 27, we talked with Phonogram writer Kieran Gillen, but today Around Comics is happy to welcome Jamie McKelvey to the show. Well, Jamie, first of all, welcome to Around Comics, and thanks for being on the show.
You. Welcome to America.
Thank you. Yeah, it's smaller than I thought.
It's huge. Everything's huge here. Our microphones are 5 feet big.
Well, congratulations on wrapping up Phonogram. It was a fun six issues. One of the things that we talked about, I think, with Kieran way back when, was how Phonogram was being received in the United States as opposed to in the UK. Over the whole six issues of Phonogram, how did you see the reception here, you know, grow or not grow?
I guess it got better. People started off, they were kind of a bit confused, I think. Didn't really know what to make of it. It took about two or three issues for a lot of people to get where it was going and realize that you didn't really need to know anything about Britpop or anything like that to get it.
Well, it's just like any other comic book. You don't need to know everything about everything to
get it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people didn't really see that at first. They sort of refused to look past it, but I think eventually people got the hang of it.
Yeah. We half expected Kieran to be at your apartment or house or wherever, trying to get back on the show.
He lives about 2 hours away from me.
Oh, okay.
So, he could walk over if he wanted to, but it'd take a while.
Take a while to show up. Magically show up.
Tell us a little bit
about him. I'm in the corner burbling.
Tell us a little bit about your history and how you got into drawing comics and where that all came from. I know it myself, or at least a little bit about your history and my stalkerish research
yeah,
for the show, but
how creepy. I know everything about
it. I usually know the creepy things about the
I don't
guy.
Know anything creepy about him.
What are the name of my cat?
Charlie. That wouldn't that be weird if that was right? But no.
Sick.
But tell us a little bit about how you got into drawing comics.
Well, kind of completely by accident. I went to university to do sociology, and about a year into it, I realized I didn't want to do anything whatsoever to do with sociology. It kind of left me stuck for career options. And my girlfriend at the time made me read Sandman. And I absolutely loved it, and I thought, well, maybe I can do something like this. So I started drawing. I think I was about 21 at the time. Kept going to Page 45 in Nottingham, which is a brilliant comic shop. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's like one of the best in the UK. And they introduced me to a bunch of other stuff. I got into loads of different comics and stuff. And then I had an internship with Christine Norrie. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah,
she's a. So I was with her in New York for a while. Sort of being her assistant and everything. And then at the time, I showed my artwork to Mike Hawthorne, and he was like, oh, I know a guy who could do something with this. And eventually I got back to Eric Stevenson, and he asked me if I wanted to do a book with him, and it just went from there.
Huh? Now, were you always drawing? I mean, so you don't have any type of artistic background education-wise? Were you always drawing?
No, I mean, like any kid, I was drawing, like, up to about, sort of, I don't know, 14 or 15, I guess, but like, I kind of stopped. And I'm just picked up again, 21.
From sociology? Basically you left sociology to go to the even less paying field of comic book art.
Well, yeah. I was going
to
say...
My parents weren't very happy with that, to be honest.
I'm
my sister's a doctor, so she's like the sensible one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm the one who's destined forever just be enticed.
Well, I'm a self-taught accountant, so I know where you're coming from. I learned it all on my own.
So how did you start learning about drawing comics? I mean, I assume that was something you had never done before you were in your 20s?
Yeah. I don't even know. I guess it just kind of happened. Mark Hempel's stuff on Sandman was a big influence early on. I looked at a lot of his stuff to see how he did things. I bought a couple of books, I guess. The Will Eisner one, which the name I'm forgetting at the moment, but I bought a couple of books and basically just taught myself.
Wow!
Now, were you influenced by any of the English,
British,
British artists? Dave Gibbons would probably be a good example.
I think subconsciously more than anything, one of my main conscious influences was Andy Watson. I read the Skeleton Key book from like the start to whenever they finished when I was getting into comics, and just kind of seeing how he sort of simplified his style as he went along and sort of, you know, reduced the amount of line work, but it still just made it look absolutely amazing. That really influenced me. I read all the classics like Watchmen and everything, so I guess I picked up that. But I don't think it was a conscious looking at British artists thing. I just kind of looked at everything.
Sure. Well, one of the your style whenever you read Phonogram is extremely clean. You have an economy of line that you don't see in a lot of other artist styles. How did you develop that style? Is that where you kind of see yourself kind of finishing as a comic artist? You want to try different looks and approaches, or is that something that that you're very deliberate in that very simplified, sleek look?
I draw like that because that's the only way I know how to draw. I could never figure out cross hatching or anything like that or doing that properly, so that all went out the window. I'd like to take on other things. I want to learn how to use a brush properly. Right now it's kind of a bit rubbish when I try and use one. It looks like someone sneezed over the page with black ink.
You can make a career on that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we actually...
It just came about because that's the only way I knew how to do it.
We hear several artists talk about making the transition from pen to brush, and I think a lot of artists kind of I don't want to say have an epiphany, but they really see an evolutionary change in their art whenever they switch tools. So that's interesting that you would say that.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody I talk to who's made the switch is always like, oh, you've got to do it. It's amazing. It doesn't take that long for them, but I don't know. Just finding the time, I guess.
So do you use pen and ink, like, you know, nibs, or are you using mechanical pens?
Yeah, I use repeater graph pens, Rotrings, and when I say it to people, they sort of react in horror. They're like, oh, but they clog and they look awful. But I don't know. I might be okay with them, I think.
Blow their mind. Tell them you use a ruling pen.
Yeah.
Well, I know Oming uses a Bic.
Yeah, a Bic and a Sharpie.
So. He goes to sleep and he wakes up in the morning and there's finished pages.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you just sell your soul to the devil or something? Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to be a comic book artist today and, you know, how do I figure that out? That just blows my mind that you were able to just, you know, in a very short time, teach yourself how to be a comic artist and your art, you know that we, you know, love your art and it's amazing looking stuff. It's just, it kind of pisses,
I think my main strength is that I can look at stuff that I've done and realize what I've done wrong with it and sort of try and improve it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that's helped me a long way. But yeah, I guess I'm just kind of lucky. I don't know.
Tell us about how you met Kieran. How'd you guys hook up, and how did Phonogram sort of come out of that relationship?
Well, we both remember it differently, so I don't know which is actually true.
The more exciting version.
The sexier
boring,
one.
Boring, sorry.
Sex it up.
Well, our eyes met across a crowded room, and he was sharing a table with a guy called Ali Pulling, who did an anthology called Nevermind the Comics. About 5 years ago, so I'd only been drawing comics for about a year or two. And I had a little story in that, which is absolutely awful. It was the worst art I've ever seen in my life. And I think I'd burned all the copies and sort of killed anybody who'd ever seen it. So Kieran was sharing a table with him, and I showed him some artwork that I was working on at the time, which was a very, very early version of Suburban Grammar. And he saw that, and he sort of, I guess he saw the promise in it. And he said to me, oh, I've got a comic that I'm writing that you might want to draw. And so we exchanged email addresses, and then he sent me the script a couple of weeks later. And it went from there.
And you
that was pretty boring, sorry.
Any more to say.
Thanks, Jamie. It was great talking with you, man.
Now,
have a good night.
Now, Jamie, Kieran has obviously the journalistic background, and he mm-hmm. wrote for music magazines and that kind of thing, but you had your own background in music. You were actually a drummer of a punk band, or you still?
Yeah, for a long time, yeah.
King Monkey? Is that the name of
them? They were King Monkey, and then two members had to leave, and then we got two members in, and we didn't feel having the same name would be appropriate. So then they became Dolls by Weaver, which is a strange name, but I don't know. We were drunk.
So how long?
Actually.
How long was King Monkey together, and what was that scene like playing in a punk band?
Well, we actually started in school. The bassist and the singer were brothers at my school. So we started, I guess, in about 16, and they asked me to be in the band because I was pretty much the only drummer they knew. So at school, I was in about four bands, I think, because nobody knew any other drummers. So we played through university, and then we all moved in together for a year in Birmingham and played the scene there. And then I moved on to London. It was just too far away for practice and stuff, so I had to leave the band. But it was a pretty good scene, actually. A lot of good bands up in Birmingham. It's just, because it isn't London, you don't really get any sort of recognition or anything, so it's a tough scene to play, but it's good fun. There's a lot of good bands, so.
I'd imagine it was kind of interesting. I mean, do you think if you hadn't had that knowledge, would a Phonogram had been a tougher project to work on for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because one of the things Kieran says is that we both sort of understand the same sort of references, the same sort of music, the same, I don't know, clothes, even anything like that. Because we both come from a similar sort of scene, he doesn't really have to explain it to me. You know, we both know exactly what's what. So. Definitely makes it a lot easier, yeah.
Sure. Well, was there much crossover in the punk scene and the Britpop scene, or were you just a music fan in general? Just to
There was kind of a little bit, because early Britpop, a lot of it was called New Wave of New Wave, which was kind of punkish stuff like Elastica and these Animal Men and things like that. I don't know. I mean, I was into Britpop, and then that kind of went away. And then I got into sort of American punk bands and things, like NoFX and bands like that. Okay. I don't know. There were two separate scenes, but I was kind of into both of them.
Well, I wanted to say, it's funny that you bring up these Animal Men, because one of the things I like about Phonogram is that the same reason when I was younger and I really got into Britpop is because it had an allure of sort of this, like, other world that I didn't know anything about. And perfect example is sort of this Animal Men. I remember reading about them because I used to go to this magazine shop and pick up NMEs when I lived in Green Bay, because there was, like, one shop that sold the NME. So I'd go and I'd go pick it up, and I'm like, these Animal Men. I'm like, oh, interesting. And it took me, like, years to find that album. And then I bought it, and I was like, oh, it's okay.
But they're like, okay.
But
I don't know, a lot of the bands I listen back to them now, and I'm kind of embarrassed, but I like them.
Oh.
They're not very good.
You're talking amongst comic fans, so we all have skeletons in our closet and that shit that we think.
Yeah, big hollow foil skeletons.
My parents are right all along.
It is for children.
Going back to kind of your comics influences, it's interesting. I guess Sandman, we're talking what, probably 90... When did you start reading comics?
Well, I mean, when I was kind of like 11 to 14, I was reading like X-Men and things like that, and then I kind of stopped. But Sandman I didn't read until quite a while after it was collected, I think.
Okay, I was going to say, this is it is interesting that you kind of came along... Quite a ways after a lot of us are kind of used to hearing about artists get into comics. What kind of stuff is out there now that you find interesting, either from a writing or an art standpoint, either in the UK or here in American comics?
Oh, no, see, I don't get to the comic shop very often anymore. A lot of the stuff that's happening at Image is really good. Obviously things like Star and Captain Nova. I don't know, I've kind of fallen out of reading superhero comics.
Everyone does.
I tended to follow writers rather than characters, so I'd read, like, Grant Morrison's X-Men, and I think I stopped. Yeah, I stopped the issue he finished.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm reading a bit of manga at the moment. Death Note's one of my favorites. I think that's everybody's favorite.
I'm going to have to read that eventually. Everyone keeps telling me that it's good.
People keep trying to get us to read manga, Jamie, and we're really going kicking and screaming if we go.
I am used to...
A lot of the stuff isn't... I don't know if it's a cultural thing, like the storytelling doesn't translate or something, but a lot of it I've not really got into. But Death Note's awesome. And there's one called... I think there's only two volumes, but there's one called Bambi and Her Pink Gun, which is about a girl with pink hair, and she's got a pink gun. And she goes and kidnaps a baby from somebody, and then goes around killing loads of people.
Sounds awesome.
And it's awesome.
One of the things I think of when I see your art is I think of Love and Rockets by the Hernandez brothers. Is that something you've looked at?
Yeah, everyone says that. I've read stuff since, but when my style was developing, I hadn't read any of it. So I don't know if I was influenced by artists or influenced by them or something like that. I don't know, but... Yeah, I don't know. People pick on influences that I've never considered.
Well, it is amazing, and I think I had said this before. Your style really harkens back to, I think, some of the best black and white indie stuff that was going on in the 80s and 90s. And it's kind of amazing that I just assumed that a lot of that stuff was your influence, and it amazes me.
No, I didn't even start reading comics till 2001. So.
Some sort of miracle child. absorbed all of this, and he doesn't even know it.
Well, actually, Sal brings up a good point, is that your style kind of harkens back to that, 80s, early 90s indie scene, and that's what a lot of Phonogram is about in music, is the stuff that kind of broke through in that indie scene and then kind of transformed into the arena rock and what Britpop kind of turned into.
Are you going to do the same thing?
It's on to X-Men next for you.
All right. Well, you guys put my rider out already, yeah?
We got you figured.
Yeah, we already have you figured out.
But if not, you know, I can hang up now. It's fine.
Well, one of the things I did want to go back to is this, the comics that you're reading. I was wondering, I know, or I don't know for a fact, but in some of the research I was doing, it appeared that you may have been a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Are you reading Season 8 by Whedon?
You know, I'm not, because the last time I got to the comic shop, issue 1 sold out. I think it was underprinted or something, I can't remember, but I haven't been able to get hold of it. So.
It's good.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, yeah. Yeah, I kind of went off the series towards the end. I think the first 3 or 4 series are the best. But I've heard it, you know, it's a good comic, so I do want to check it out at some point. And the covers are lovely as well.
Hi, my name is Tony Danza, and you're listening to Around Comics. Hi, my name is John Romita Jr., and you are listening to Around Comics.
Now, the Phonogram trade, is it officially been released here in the United States yet?
No. The last I heard was the printer's proofs have been approved a couple of weeks ago, so I guess it'll be out in a couple of weeks.
Phonogram, I think, falls into the category of one of the wait-for-the-trade type books that we see out there. Is that a lot of the response that you guys have gotten? Is that, you know, hey, I'm interested, but I'm going to wait for this to come out?
Oh, a lot, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we were kind of worried to start with because we figured we were making a comic for people who don't read comics, which, you know, presents a bit of difficulty when you want to kind of sell it. So, yeah, we figured a lot of people would be waiting for the trade. And we hear a lot of people trying to order it from Amazon and going into bookstores and getting it and stuff. Definitely.
Did you hear anything about... I was also interested to see if Phonogram, if there are certain music shops that decided to go and grab Phonogram. Did you hear of any shops like that, like a music shop that would go out and get copies? And
you know, I think we have to approach them. A lot of the... I don't know how it is in America, but a lot of the chain music stores over here kind of experimented with selling graphic novels a few years ago, and I think a lot of them were kind of burned in it. I don't think they did too well. So I think we'd have to go in and sort of press our case, but I think it'd be a really good book to have in music stores, definitely.
Too bad there's not any head shops anymore.
Yeah.
That would have been, you know, back in the day with all the head shops, that book would have sold, like, you know.
Put it right next to the big old glass bomb.
Yeah. Exactly.
And get yourself a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt, too. You can have your old experience.
What's been your, what's been the reaction from people just in general about the book? Because it's not a conventional story. It's not a conventional comic in this day and age with, you know, the mainstream stuff that's out there, and even a lot of the quote-unquote alternative books that are out there. This book is very unique.
There's no capes and cows in it, but at the same time, there's a very supernatural bent to it.
Sure. What's been the reaction you've gotten just from fans and readers in general?
It's actually been really, really good. We're really surprised how good it's been. We've got a lot of people who, email us a lot and, you know, come up to us at cons and stuff and say how much they've enjoyed the book. You know, we're kind of surprised because we sort of, I don't know, didn't really think anybody would get it as much as they did, but we're glad that they did. We thought we were making the book for about 2 people, so it's nice that it's a few more than that.
Did you go to BristolCon?
Yeah, we did. We had a table there, yeah.
How was that?
It was awesome. I didn't get to leave the table once. We were selling stuff, signing stuff, sketching stuff. Didn't have a break. It was so busy. It was brilliant.
Cool.
So, yeah, just do that and then get drunk at night. Nice. Just the way.
You know, speaking of Bristol and just the market over there, it's the entire UK comic scene is something that is very different to us. It's very foreign to us.
Yeah.
Can you?
It's magical.
Kinda, well, yeah, yeah, it is.
It's a magical fantasy land.
It is a far off place.
Coffee, yeah.
what is the comic scene and being a comics creator, what's it like in the UK as opposed to maybe the United States? I know that you spent a little bit of time here in conventions and talking to colleagues. What would you say the big differences are?
The exchange rate makes the checks really small.
Yeah, but
it's really bad at the moment.
The pound's like 2-1 over the dollar.
it's awful. Absolutely awful. It'll be good when I come over so I can spend loads of money at the cons. It's a very... I don't know how to describe it, but pretty much everybody knows everybody else. And it's a good scene for that, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I go out drinking with Fraser Irving and Ty Story all the time. It's a good scene for making friendships and stuff, because it's quite a small scene. There's only one major comic, which is 2000 AD. The rest of us, if you haven't done 2000 AD, so you kind of go to America to get a comic published.
Was that one of the things with the internet now that it's kind of made the world
community.
Comics community much smaller? Where
I wouldn't have a career without the internet, no way. All my early contacts and everything were made through message boards and things like that. But I wouldn't even know what to do without it.
Have you talked about the next Phonogram story that you guys are going to work on? Do you have is there a set date when you guys are going to start working on it?
Not really, no. I'm doing my own one, which is 4 issues, starting in September, and I guess we're just going to start on it straight after that.
Nice.
Kieran's writing it at the moment, so... I'll pretty much be ready to draw it as soon as I finish my reserves.
I hear he drinks, so it might take a while. I hear he's been drinking, so it might take a while to get those scripts. Be careful with that. But you're working on something in between, of course, which is Suburban Glamour.
Ooh, very nice.
There you go. Nice segue. Score one for Tom.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, as Sal pointed out, it's going to be in color.
Yeah, I know you didn't like that, but... Well, tell us about Suburban Glamour. I know you've been actually kind of working on this for a long time in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I had the idea for it a long time ago, and then I put it on hold to get Phonogram done. So it's nice to get it out of the way now.
What's Suburban Glamour about? I haven't even seen really... I just see the preview art, and I haven't seen any of the description of what it's
about. Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
I normally have Kieran here to explain these things for me. it's kind of like my mouthpiece, but it's a modern fantasy, I guess. It's about a couple of kids who live in a small town in the middle of nowhere, and they're trying to grow up and trying to do what they want to do, and everybody else around them, all the authorities, because they're telling them that their dreams for what they want to do in their lives is just not possible. And it's about kind of how they deal with that, and it's got trolls and fairies and stuff in it as well.
When's the first issue coming out?
It's convoluted, but I don't know. I kind of, in terms of the Hollywood style thing, it's Labyrinth meets Blue Monday, I guess.
Interesting.
Cool. When do you think I know you were sort of waiting until you had a bunch of it done before you really wanted to give a release date on it, but do you have any idea as far as when?
Yeah, it's going to be in the next previews.
Oh, okay.
In September.
Start the hype machine now!
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I'm too busy working on it to actually start hyping it. But,
Have you sold out yet at Diamond?
Probably by the time it goes on air, I'll have some ads and stuff out. So.
Yeah, we saw the preview cover of the first one, and it looks great. It looks awesome. Yeah, Tom asked if you had already sold out at Diamond.
Yeah, just announced you sold out at Diamond.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why not? Yeah, they all got delivered.
Diamond Head Shop in Diamond, Bristol, no?
Just announce it early. Build the hype.
Is that where you guys get
early.
Your comics from in,
head
in
shops.
The UK?
Head Shops?
Diamond.
No.
No, from Diamond?
It's Diamond UK.
Ah, okay. They're everywhere.
I don't think the numbers count towards Diamond's numbers. I don't even know how any of it works, but yeah.
As long as the shops get them. As long as the people get the books.
Well,
however they get them, as long as they pay for them.
Yeah, the money's a good thing.
Now, is Suburban Glamour something along the lines of Phonogram that you want to kind of continue to do in a series of minis?
Yeah, hopefully. I've got a few ideas for it. So I guess depending on how, you know, things go, it might be like one series of Phonogram and then another one of Suburban Glamour, then back to Phonogram or whatever.
Okay. Well, you can always have Suburban Glamour there for whenever you and Kieran have creative differences and you break up.
Yeah, pretty much every day. It's a good thing we don't live near each other, actually. Maybe fist fights.
Shoving.
Yeah. Slapping him on the back of the head.
It would be...
Hiding his glasses and things like that.
Sold out at Diamond. Artist and writer separate. It'd be all over Newsarama.
One of these times, one day, we're going to get too drunk and then there's going to be violence.
I think it's like an elaborate plot because I think they're both the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know
you
about
have no
that
response.
One.
No one has any response to that.
Well, what anything else ever. That you're working on? Anything? I mean, I know you guys are going to go back to Phonogram. We got Suburban Glamour. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that's in the works for you?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, but I'm going to do that annoying comments person thing and say that I can't really talk about any of it.
Oh, come on. It's just us, Jamie.
I want
I want to be in a profession where someone can ask me a question and I say, I have huge things coming up, but I can't talk about it.
I did that with my boss last week. Did not believe
didn't
me.
Fly. Yeah,
yeah, didn't. Did not believe me.
You didn't have like a graphic designer website like Newsarama that then reported on you having big things to talk about?
So, Chris, what do you have coming up next?
All right.
Can we have big things. Big things.
Have we just broken the fourth wall of listening?
I think, yeah. Well, I think. Right, is Jamie still there? Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's still here.
I didn't like Peter to finish.
Let's get back to kind of how you do your craft. I mean, are you fairly traditional? Do you use traditional materials? Do you work digitally at all?
It's all on Bristol board. Image just Bristol board over with the pre-printed lines on it, and then I use repeater glass, pencils, repeater glass, and scan it in on my really really terrible scanner that costs about. $20, and then sort of fix it up on Photoshop. Yeah, put all the grey tones on Photoshop, and then send it off.
Have you thought about going digital at all?
Nah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the big sources of income for someone like me is selling the original artwork, sure. Which you can't really do if you do it digitally. I guess you could like print it off and then just lie. That'd be just the original, and you know, there's a couple around.
The
don't worry about it; they're all original.
Yeah, then you just number them.
Original art lithographs. Huh?
Yeah, there you go.
It's a whole new industry. You know what I wanted to ask you about was sort of the process of getting Phonogram with Image. Was that sort of set up before you came onto the book, or you know, from the you know, was that a process you went through, or how did that work getting the book?
I've already had one book with Image, Long Hot Summer, which I did with Eric Stevenson, who's the executive director at Image. And so when I was moving on to Phonogram, I think Lauren McCubbin got him and Kieran in touch, and it kind of went from there. So you know, I was already at Image, and then Kieran came along. It's a really good fit for us, I think.
So actually, Kieran is riding on your coattails.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's just a guy that wrote for.
I never looked at it like that before.
He's just a computer game magazine writer.
Yeah,
what does he know?
We knew it all along.
I think it would be great if Kieran also was like never formally learned how to read or write and just taught himself.
He taught himself how to write comics.
Yeah.
He can't read or write anything else.
I found War and Peace one day, and then
only
I became
comic
a writer.
Books.
And I spit out these scripts that have words that make sense. I don't know how.
Well, outside, speaking of your history, outside of comic book artwork, have you moved on into other areas of art that you dabble in or that you do, just for your own?
Yeah, I've done a couple of things for bands and things. I've just done a 12-inch cover for my cousin, who's a pretty big drum and bass DJ over here. And his next thing is coming out. I've done the cover for that. I do a comic strip for the official PlayStation magazine every month, sadly with Kieran. So whatever comes along, really. I kind of, when I'm doing other stuff, I kind of sort of feel the need to get back into doing comics. I get a bit annoyed sometimes, and then, and as much as I enjoy doing other things, I kind of want to get back onto the comics.
We actually have an email question. This comes from James Copeland. He has actually three questions.
Okay.
It says, will we see any of the major characters in Phonogram Series 1 pop up in subsequent stories? I think Emily was a great foil to David and would make a kick-ass protagonist. How about an Indie Dave story?
Emily's actually going to get her own series. I think we're doing her with Series 3. And both her and Cole are going to pop up in the series too. And one of the issues is with Kids with Knives. So they'll be around. We kind of want to get away from the idea that it's David Cole's story, because it's not the first series of David Cole's, but Phonogram's kind of world we've got planned. So, yeah, they'll pop up now and then.
That's awesome. Emily was a really fun character in that series, so that'll
yeah,
be...
Yeah, she's really fun to draw too, because... I don't know, she's got this mask, and then occasionally it'll flip. It's fun to draw something like that, as opposed to keep an eye for everything he thinks shows up on his face.
Alright.
He doesn't really think that much, I guess, but it's all there.
Alright, second question. A topic that has come up frequently on the boards has been the use of photo reference. What are your thoughts on the issue? Comic artists have been using reference for many years. Why does it seem to be such an issue with so many readers now?
I think it's an issue when it's too obvious and when it doesn't look like it fits into the page. When it's done well, you don't even really notice. I was having a discussion on Stuart Eminem's Flickr page. He's got a picture that he took of himself next to a picture of the cat. I think it was the cat in Next Wave, showing how he does it. And I think when you use it well, it's a brilliant aid. I mean, there's some things that I'm not good enough to draw yet, but I take photos of myself and have them on the computer screen while I'm drawing to get the hang of it and get it looking good. So I think it becomes an issue when it's really obvious, when the page doesn't fit together, when angles are wrong, perspectives are wrong, and then it sort of jars you out of the story.
When it's like someone asking for to pass the salt and their face looks like they're screaming or having an orgasm. It doesn't quite match the drama of the face doesn't quite match what's being said.
Pass
the
salt.
Everyone's got a porn face or something.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, with Phonogram, I mean, obviously it seems like there's a lot of reference there to the time frame and probably, the stuff that you grew up and Kieran grew up. How did that work out for you as far as trying to find reference or using reference, or was it just out of your head, or how did you do that with Phonogram?
Well, the scenery was all very much photo reference, because we wanted it to feel as real as possible. And, if you've been to these places, you know where they are in the comic. When it comes to people from the era, it was actually really, really difficult. All my old enemies and everything, I've thrown them all away years ago. And basically, if you try and do a Google image search for somebody from 90s Britain, you get about four pictures that are each about 50 pixels high. and it makes it pretty difficult to get photo reference.
Well, that was one of the things, it sure seemed like, and I know Kieran had talked about it with us before, was the clothing of the era that you had chosen, and a lot of the clothing that the characters wore just seemed to be spot on, and you had really nailed that. So what was sort of the solution you found for that?
I think part of it was just living in the time and living around, going to see the bands and everything, so being aware of it from that angle. But that wasn't really a problem. It was more specific likenesses, especially in issue 4, where, you have the Memory Kingdom versions of several Britpop people.
Sure.
And it became a bit difficult. But the clothes and stuff, I think it was just, we knew that's one of the reasons he picked me, I think, was because he knew that I would know exactly what I was talking about in the script.
I think I remember when we talked to Kieran, it seems like an age ago, and that was one of the things that he talked about, was that there were very few artists that could have pulled off what you did, because
he's lying.
Except that how people dress, how kids dress, and how people dress.
Your soul to the devil, and that's how you did it. That's
imagine if the Rob Liefeld version were. I don't think it was that hard.
It wasn't a very good film. One of the things that frustrates me a lot in comics, especially comics that are aimed at teenagers, is that a lot of artists don't know how to draw teenagers. And I think that's a very important thing. If you're aiming at a group like that, you do need to know the styles and the looks and things like that. Otherwise, it's going to fail before it gets started, I think.
I hate when people try and write young people and they fill up what they say with so much like jargon that it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have a few examples in my mind, but I won't bring them up. But just like when people are like, no, I know that's what people think young people talk like, but I mean,
because they watch Pimp Your Ride.
Yeah, you know, and that's
this is how young people talk.
Yeah. That drives me insane.
There's a UK version of Pimp My Ride.
I'm sorry.
And it's awful. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean,
like they try and do up these cars that are like, you know, little tiny British cars,
yeah.
Mini Coopers,
and they put them with so much stuff that they're too heavy to actually move.
I mean, because England doesn't have a fine tradition like America of having big like fuck you cars.
I like the 2 hours.
Yeah, like I imagine, like you know. Effective public transportation as opposed to like a 500 foot long, you know, car with black lights all over it.
450 horsepower.
Pimp your Bentley. The third question from James here is, any suggestions for a student artist like myself that would like to self-publish his own comic in the future?
Yeah, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I kind of fluked into the entire thing. Yeah,
I was going
to
say.
Get into sociology.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've been very, very lucky in my career and so far. I didn't really do the self-publishing thing or anything. Well, a lot of friends who do, and they seem to get a lot out of it. So I think the best advice is just to get out there and do it. You know, draw the comics, photocopy them up or whatever, take them to a con. At a table.
Yeah, I see a lot of times I think people who want to get in the self-publishing thing, they get so... It's like they don't want to show anybody what they're doing until they think they've created like the perfect thing. Mm. But I think that's like the wrong approach to take.
Yeah, you just got to get out there and do it and just and learn from the mistakes and, you know, hopefully improve. But just doing the comics is the way to do it, really.
Great. And James finishes up by saying, Phonogram was at the top of my stack all year. Can't wait for Suburban Glamour. And anything you do in the future, he says, if we meet in person, I owe you a pint. So
that sounds good to me. I'll make it whiskey and coke.
Ah.
All right.
Man for my
I like the man even more. except if you hook up with it, it's got to be bourbon and RC.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Bourbon and RC.
I'm not that picky. Whatever you know. Yeah,
whatever anyone wants to.
Whatever.
are you
like the first three. You can't tell anyway.
Are you guys coming to any cons here in the U.S.?
Yeah, we're doing San Diego. I think we've got a table at Image Island or half a table, which you know is big enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
I've done San Diego for the last 4 years, I think so.
So it's time to skip San Diego and come to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I wanted the other ones as well, but it's expensive to fly over.
Well, we're going to send Pat Loika out there. Mm-hmm. I know he'll be in San Diego, so we're going to send him to come and say hi to you guys. And
awesome, yeah.
I'm scared of the West Coast and their crazy ideas.
Yeah, all the crazy liberals out there in California,
well,
Jamie.
Well, the thing is, Chicago snows all the time, doesn't it?
Only like eight months out of the year.
Yeah, and then the other 4 months, it's fucking hot.
900 degrees.
Yeah, 90% humidity.
I was at a baseball game for like 6 hours today, and I'm like burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, see, yeah, it snows all the time, so that's what happens in Chicago in my mind.
All gigantic fat people who are sunburnt.
And gangsters.
And
Tommy guns.
Chasing each other around.
That's
in
the
sun.
Chicago way.
That's the Chicago way. They put one of yours in the hospital.
Well, you got to get over here and visit us one of these days, man.
Yeah, I want to do New York as well. And you went to New York this year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to do that next year.
It's gonna be in April next year.
I've got a good friend in New York that I haven't seen for a while.
Don't go with Chris.
I second that.
What?
Whatever you do, don't travel with Chris.
We play it up.
They made me take everything accused me of packing too much.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't make you take an Absolute Edition in your bag.
Yeah.
If you come to New York,
a bunch of Queen and Country hardcovers.
Hey, who has the George Perez autographed Crisis Absolute Edition?
Anyone that stood in line? Oh,
anyway, yeah. If you come to New York, you should let us know, because I'll go to New York for any reason.
Yeah, I know it's a good city, and that's a very good thing about the con. So we definitely want to come out for that, I think.
Well, I know. We dream someday of going to Bristol Con, but, you know, we never
next
know.
Next year, baby. Next year.
Yeah, you'll probably be disappointed then.
No, because we would meet you and Karen.
No, it's probably about, I'd say, a tenth the size of New York.
That's all right.
New York was too big.
So you walk around it in about an hour, and then, I don't know.
And then you go drink.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's a great show.
I wish...
A lot of people there, but it's a lot smaller than the U.S. ones.
I wish that the New York Con would have been shorter and there would have been more drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's generally the British way of doing it, to be honest. I think we deliberately keep it small just so we can go to the bar quicker.
That stiff upper lip of the one-hour con and then drinking afterwards.
Just be out and drinking by midday, otherwise something's wrong.
The illusion of business followed by...
copious amounts of drinking. Yes, and rugby. So.
Well, I'm familiar with that.
We did have another post on the forum. It was from Keith Cunningham, and he had a couple of questions for you. He said, "What materials do you use when you draw?" We kind of went over that. The pens. What is your art background? We went over that. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, ever.
Yes.
No, today. Actually, today. If you watched a movie today, what is it?
Oh, I watched The Prestige again yesterday.
Oh, very good.
I love that film. That's a really good film. Ever. Oh, it's really difficult. I don't know. Shaun of the Dead, maybe? Or Princess Bride?
Have you seen Hot Fuzz yet?
The DVDs that are next to the TV, and all of them are TV shows. They're not really helping me.
Have you seen Hot Fuzz?
Seen what, sorry?
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, I saw it last weekend.
I gotta go see that.
I fucking laughed my ass
off. We saw it like 6 months ago, and it came out over here.
The best part of it is... Because to me, one of the worst movies of all times is Bad Boys 2. Is one of the worst films. And the fact that they make fun of Bad Boys 2 immediately sold me on it.
I was loving it.
Oh, no, yeah, I mean, I was just like, Bad Boys 2 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, I've seen way worse movies. His last question...
The worst film I ever saw was The Skateboard Kid.
The Skateboard Kid?
Yeah, it's a film about a kid who gets a skateboard that he buys from a shop that's on a ghost burial ground or something, and then it gets struck by lightning and comes to life.
Your next comic book
that
project.
That sounds
Jamie.
Awesome! What are you...
No, your next comic.
Has anyone licensed that property?
I recorded it because it was on late at night on TV, and I recorded it because it sounds like the best film ever. And it's absolutely terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever seen, ever.
Keith's last question was, how can I be as cool as you?
Years of practice.
First you have to become English.
Yeah, you have to get a British accent.
You're already fucked on that one, Keith.
And then you need a mirror in front of your table to practice your poses and stuff.
You know, these are from the thread on our forum, which I was disappointed you didn't post in that thread.
Yeah, I did.
But did you
today? You did.
Oh, see, I was at a Cubs game.
It was odd for him to tell everyone to go fuck themselves.
Well, you can go read it. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
What he said, it was it wasn't good for you, Chris.
It was a time travel question.
Boy, Chris was a real jackass.
He did ask if he was allowed to swear, and yeah, have you
but
never
I don't
listened
think
to
you
us?
Have yet.
Yeah, you've been very proper.
No, I've been pretty good.
Get it? Go ahead. Right, get
my mum might listen to it. I don't know.
Fuck you. Come on.
Can you cut that bit out? Because she'll be really offended.
Well, we don't want that to happen.
Hi, I'm Tony Moore, and you're listening to Around Comics.
Well, Jamie, we want to thank you, first of all, for helping to put out such a good book in Phonogram. It was one that it really caught us by surprise last year, how much we enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun to follow that series and see how it wrapped up. And we're looking forward to more Phonogram in the future.
Cool. Well, thanks for supporting us. It's been great. you've been one of the big supporters of us all along, so it's been really cool.
I'm buying it for my... I'm actually buying the trade for my friends who, like...
Awesome. Yeah, Tom Cage is our number one fan.
The accent.
Jack Kirby's son? I don't know.
Well, it's been kind of fun to watch because as much as we've helped support Phonogram because we like to, you've done a lot to help spread the word about our show, and so thank you very much for all the kind words in the backs of the books and on message boards and whatnot. It's been really fun to get to know you guys, even though we've never met you.
Unfortunately, since one of our sponsors is In Stock Trades, and all of the people that came from you are English and they can't use it, we're going to have to ask them to stop listening. Because it's really diluting the pool. That was a joke. Anyone can listen.
Great, Tom.
Can you hear me, Antarctica?
That's fantastic.
All the English have to leave.
Tom does
it again.
I love
the English. They're great people. The Canadian, French Canadians, though.
All right, so once again, real quick, when should we expect Suburban Glamour to hit comic shops?
First, this is out in September, and it's 4 issues, and it's monthly if everything goes according to plan.
All right, and it will be in the next. And it will be in the next issue, is the issue of previews.
Yeah,
right?
I think it comes out at the end of June or something.
Okay.
For all you previews collectors, to get that slabbed, take a look at it before you
box it up.
Before you box that previews up. Take a page through.
Well, Jamie, it has been really great to get to know you and Kieran and see the book come out and just we've enjoyed it so much. I mean, you already know that how much we've really
kissed your ass.
Yeah,
we've kissed your ass for 8 months now,
and that's it. The next time your book comes out, we're just gonna rail on it.
Yeah,
because we got to balance it. We got to it's like we kiss your ass.
Whatever.
We'll take up fake names on the internet. Start fights with ourselves.
No, we are definitely looking forward to both Suburban Glamour and more Phonogram and whatever else you will be working on, because I'm sure there's going to be more in your future.
We've got some plans. Whether they go ahead or not, I don't mind it.
All right. Great. Well, Jamie, thank you so much, and you have a fantastic rest of your morning.
Yeah. I'm going to go to bed now.
All right.
Nice.
All right. We'll see you on the forums.
See you later.
All right. Cheers. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'd like to thank Jamie McKelvey for joining us today, or in the morning in the UK, as it was. It was like 1 in the morning.
Let's not try and get into the
time. Hello?
It's 1 in the morning on Saturday in England
last week
when we recorded it, but it's
I'm
Thursday.
I'm here now. I wasn't here on Monday.
You're crazy.
Everyone
I'm getting freaked out.
If you haven't picked up Phonogram, please do so, especially if you are a fan of music or especially a fan of like 90s Britpop. It is... It's almost, if you are a fan of 90s Britpop and a comic fan, it is your book.
If you like being entertained, just get it.
Absolutely. We highly recommend it.
Yes.
And also, be on the lookout for Jamie's next book, Suburban Glamour, coming out soon from Image Comics. It'll be in the next issue of previews. Then he said, about a September release for that?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, thank
you. He's a fantastic. I mean, I cannot believe that he's really only been drawn for 5 years or something.
He's a liar. I bet he's gone.
It's just unbelievable. Well, I know he's young. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's probably 10 years younger than I am. Liar. But he's a fantastic artist, and I can only imagine, if he keeps drawing comics for another 10 years,
it's going to be really interesting to see how he develops.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we have a listener hotline, if you weren't already familiar with that, Sal. You can let everyone know about that.
1-888-65-GCAST. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, and we will play it on the show, just like this one.
Hey, Round Comics. Cool. I finally called you.
Finally.
My name's Pockets. Can't remember what my thing is on your website.
It's not Pockets?
I'm pretty fucking drunk right now. Oh, yeah, it's Hitman. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a freaking Marvel zombie. And fucking, I wanted to get in the fucking DCU for a while. But I hate DC. The only one I like is Hitman. It's my favorite. And I've listened to your podcast for a while. Well, I've been listening to some of the recent episodes. I've been listening from, like, whatever to... I'm, like, on A2 right now. And Tom keeps talking about fucking...
Tom.
Absolute Watchmen. And how, yeah, stupid contest. And fucking...
win the Absolute.
So I finally bought it from Borders, thanks to you guys. Anyway, I'm trying to get in DCU. And I'm in the middle of reading Watchmen right now. It's pretty fucking badass. Really.
Yeah.
Come on, it's cool. It's got like the whole bookmark cloth thingy.
Yeah.
It's like the Bible. So, yeah.
The Bible of comics.
DCU. So, like, what trade should I buy to, like, really get me into it? I'm a Marvel zombie. I'm in all sorts of shit, like Punisher, Hitman, like I said. You guys said I could pick up anything, but I'm thinking like JLA or just JSA because, you know, Avengers rocks. So I'm like thinking of that kind of thing for DCU. So yeah, any like helpful hints you could fucking help me out with.
Sounds like it's about to
die. Yeah. Oh, Vince B and Dave Price. I love you guys, man. I'm just fucking too lazy and antisocial to say... call you guys up. Oh, I'll have to get drunk again and do that. But yeah, what trade should I fucking call, or no, should I read to get into DCU?
He really is fucked up.
Like, learn more about it and shit. So, cool. Hey, Mom, which one's pound?
What?
Which symbol's pound? Oh, the stars, or the number? All right. Anyway, thanks. You don't have to put me on the air.
Just ask his mom.
You know. Oh, and my initials are MG for people at work, so I can, like, show this right out and show, like, I'm, like, on a cool podcast. You guys fucking rock, Tom. I love you.
Oh.
Sal, Chris, fucking, yeah, you guys rock.
Well, thank you.
All right. Bye.
He's, like, hammered. Too hammered to figure out what pound is on a phone, but his mom's sitting next to him.
I hope he was at his mom's house, not driving home.
Prison.
I think
his mom in prison. You can pick up. You can pick up like the first JLA trade with Morrison. All the Morrison stuff's really good. Or start. You can pick up the first JSA trade. And
a couple that I would suggest.
Is Vigilante traded?
No.
We could get that in quarter bins, yeah, probably. Vigilante was the 80s.
Green Lantern Rebirth, and then Green Lantern Core is something that I'm really enjoying, and not coming at it from, you know, a lot of DC history like Tom would. So those are Green Lantern Rebirth was fantastic.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff. I mean, but he likes like Punisher and
Vigilante
Hitman.
Would probably be
right. Those guys are kind of cool for, you know, if you like the sort of anti-hero guys. Trying to think of what else DC's putting out.
Sort of stuff.
Maybe Green Arrow, because he's a bit more...
Yeah, the Kevin Smith stuff
yeah.
I think he would like a lot.
He might like that.
If you like Hitman and you like
Punisher,
I could see him liking the Green Arrow.
Yeah, maybe some of the Wildstorm stuff might appeal to him if he likes Punisher. You know, Authority.
Maybe the Teth Adam... JSA stuff.
Black Rain.
Black Rain, stuff like that. Huh? Yeah, I could see that working for him.
Wildstorm might be a good Authority Sleeper is fantastic.
Yeah, Authority you'd probably really like, because that's, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the JSA stuff, I think, I'm starting JSA, the Robinson, Goyer, John's run
right now.
And it's fun stuff. It's very superhero. If you like more of a hard edge to stuff, Manhunter.
He would
probably like Manhunter.
Yeah,
that's a good
call. Check out the first couple Manhunter trades. I think you'll really enjoy those.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling. Leaving us a voicemail. We always enjoy to hear our drunk listeners.
Sure.
Or even if you're not drunk, you don't have to be drunk to call.
I miss Esteban 89.
Oh, he's been, I've got plenty of Esteban 89 if we there's a lot of
now.
He's left us a lot of messages.
No, Esteban 89, not our friend.
Oh, Enigma, that. Zero Enigma.
Yeah, Zero Enigma.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got him confused.
Yes, but I'm
enough with the voice. Now with the writing.
The writing.
Listener emails.
Let's
send to info at Around Comics or Sal, Chris, or Tom at Around Comics.
So yes.
This first one's from Douglas Mead.
Hey there, guys, from all of us at Top of the Ninth. We've been supplying Northern Michigan's comic needs for over 17 years now. Well, congratulations.
Ding.
Thanks. Yeah. Plug. Thanks for putting out such great shows every week that are both funny and informative.
You're welcome.
We play all the new shows as well as your greatest hits in the store.
We have greatest hits, I guess.
That's
like
me, so there you go.
Your military intelligence.
Yeah, I know. Your flyer is probably displayed at our counter, and we appreciate all your hard work. The JSA 101 episode was great. Keep it up, and we'll be seeing you all at Wizard World Chicago.
Cool.
We will see you at Wizard Wars.
That's not the first person that's emailed us said that they play our show in their shop.
That's
which kind of it is a little frightening. It's like some of the stuff we say. I don't
the
know.
Cops are gonna.
But thank you.
Run in here one night.
Don't put that book in your bag, young man. If you think you smell, you do.
Top of the Ninth
in the center.
Top of the Ninth Comics and Cards is at 1120 East 8th Street, Traverse City, Michigan, 49686. You can call them at 231-946-3030.
Get in touch with us before Chicago. We'll meet you.
Yeah.
We'll hang.
I got an email that was sent to me, but it's one that I want to read for everyone because it's something I love to talk about. This is from Greg.
Yeah, I wonder what this could be.
And he says, Greg? Right,
yes.
Here we go.
Not that Greg. Not that Greg.
Sure?
Yeah, whatever.
It says, hi, Chris. I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I've decided to give Queen and Country a try. Can you give me an order on how I should read the trades and novels? I've also seen the Queen and Country declassified and was wondering how this fits into the rest of the series. This is a question I love to
have. You've
answer
answered
to
this before, haven't you?
Start with number one, read all of them.
Here's how here's how I would suggest the reading order, and it doesn't. These are not set rules, but Queen and Country Volume 1, Queen and Country Volume 2, Queen and Country Volume 3, Queen and Country Volume 4. Then, shut up.
You couldn't just say 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes, Queen and Country Volume 1 through 4. Then Declassified Volume 1 because it has a backstory that leads into Queen and Country Volume 5. And then you can go into Q&C Volume 6. Then I would suggest Declassified Volume 2, Queen and Country, drawn by Mike Norton. That's Volume 7. Saddlebags, that's a great arc. Then A Gentleman's Game, the first novel. Then Queen and Country Volume 8, that's the current arc that's going to wrap up by around San Diego. And then the last novel, Private Wars. So that's the reading order. So thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. And
thank you, Greg Wink.
Greg Lucka?
Greg Lucka.
Interesting.
Greg Lucka.
What an interesting coincidence. Well, our next email, I want to set this up a little bit. A couple weeks ago or last week when we were talking about Birds of Prey in our Top of the Stack, I think that was John's Top of the Stack pick, and someone said something about Nicola Scott, the artist of Birds of Prey, and then somebody else said, well, she doesn't listen. Well, Nicola Scott sent us an email, said, hey guys, I do listen to the show while I work. Podcasts are newish to me, but there are now a few I listen to regularly, yours being my absolute favorite. I do a little dance to your opening theme and laugh along while I draw. Scotty is a great addition to the show, but I'll be sad to lose John as a regular. I'll be Northern Hemisphere side really soon at Toronto's Paradise Con on June 8th through the 10th. I'll also be at Comic-Con in San Diego. Are you all going? I need to see what you guys look like so I can stop constructing visuals in my head. At the moment, Tom looks like Mac from the Mac versus PC ads. Wrong?
We'll discuss this. I look a bit more like a young Nicolas Cage.
Yes, I would agree. You do have a bit of a Nicolas Cage. You probably have a little more hair than Nicolas Cage.
I do. No, this is fake like his. And all those movies he's in.
Nice.
This is all CGI. And my body is pure CGI. I'm ripped. But it's just, it's like Nicolas Cage.
She went on to say, thanks for the kind words about Birds of Prey. I will be hanging around on the title when Sean comes on board. Oh,
great
show. Great. Cheers, Nicola.
Nicola?
I don't know how you pronounce Nicola.
Nicola.
But that's just so awesome that, like, you know, out of the blue, you know, we get an email
from her.
That
was a great Tuesday morning moment.
Yeah, that was funny. And we love her work, and thank you for listening, and
Reed
just imagining her doing a little dance to our opening theme.
I'm never going to get that theme music changed. ever. It's there forever now. Thanks.
and the Sean she mentions is Sean McKeever, who's coming on Birds of Prey. So those
look
two.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, look forward to Birds of Prey.
All right. I think we already mentioned the Listener LCS Challenge. You can join our Friends of the Program.
Friends of the Program.
It's very easy. Just go to www.aroundcomics.com, where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in their store. If they do, send us an email, and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a Friend of the Program today.
And there's a few other ways you can visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics, myspace.com/aroundcomics, or Chris's favorite, you can write us an iTunes review.
Yes.
At the iTunes podcast store.
Please. And special thanks to Jeff Solomon, Nagazi, comic book hero, and Troop Lee.
We're marching towards 200
quickly.
Now. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Get it on, guys. Now it's on.
Now it's sad, on. Sad little life, and it makes me so happy when I see new reviews.
Speaking of sad, check out all the great things that Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best.
Sad.
It's source for your best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions, and what you should think.
And we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. On that note, hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
I feel
to,
like we're
to
doing
go off script.
Mock.
Ing.
Bird.
Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely frightened. What happened to you two?
Sorry.
I feel like we're going back and
it's just that close relationship Tom and I have creatively. I don't know.
We sit on the same side of the table.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I happened to listen to an interesting podcast today. It's a new podcast. Called Sidebar. It's a comic book podcast. I don't know anything about the guys. I don't know who's on it. But the show I listened to, they interviewed Dexter Vines, inker. He's been inker with CrossGen. He did McNiven stuff on Civil War, but he's been inking for years and years.
He does a lot of stuff with McGinnis, I think.
Does
I've
he?
I've seen him in the past.
But it was a really interesting interview and a really funny and informative and good show. So go at Side.
Well, now I'm going to listen.
Go
to
check it out. It was really good. I love hearing new, good comic book related podcasts. And this one had a completely kind of different feel to it than other stuff. But it was good. Go check it out.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Quiet Penologists at work since this is kind of our British themed show. So those guys.
Quiet. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com.
Yes. And
next week, Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, God, I got to get prepared for that.
So we're going to be talking about studying sequential arts in school. Pain.
My God.
Unlike Jamie McKelvey, who went to school for sociology and then
sold
school
his soul.
Isn't fun, hanging out is fun.
Getting high. And speaking about getting high, waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember, all orders over $50 ship free, whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials. InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
And if you want another friend, I suggest that you get in touch with the Hero Initiative. We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give something back to the people who have given us so much enjoyment and entertainment.
Edutainment.
For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and ask for a friend.
Do something good.
Be a hero.
Give and
and enter our hero contest.
Remember our hero. And actually, we talked about Mike doing a Captain America sketch on the Captain America.
For your own personal collection?
No.
It's going to be Captain
He's
America
doing it for the,
hugging Eazy-E. Up in heaven, man.
He did it. He did it while we were here, so we do have a Mike
very
Norton,
nice.
Captain America
Fallen Son.
I'm going to miss everybody.
Nice.
Miss everybody. See you at the crossroads.
You know Mock.
Well, I'd like to thank. I think I'd like to thank everyone for being here. I definitely would like to thank Jamie McKelvey. Thank you again, sir. Everyone, go check out
for staying up so late.
Absolutely, Tom, Sal, always a good time on a Friday evening.
Go to hell.
Thanks to Tamara for hosting us here at Dark Tower on another Friday evening.
Blow it out your ass.
Let's finish it up.
Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime,
in between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Chimney sweeps.
Oi,
matey.
Governor. Oi, governor.
Paul Jenkins just threw up in his mouth.
Off the apples and pears, have we?
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.